Yeah, it's looking like we're lining up. Hey, everyone, this is Push My Buttons Podcast. This is Dungeon Master Mike, and we're going to get the introductions taken care of right off the bat. And let's see. I am joined by Flip a Coin. Who am I going to introduce first? Go ahead. Pantrum isn't going to be in the Arceus one. He should. If he's. Well, and then we are also joined. BDSP, everyone, stands for Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl. It's the newest edition. It's not BDSM. I've made that mistake. BDSP. Wait, is it out yet? Oh. Okay. Nice. Michelle plays BD. I'm intending to, but I am in the process of finishing up Dragon Quest, which is another 100-hour endeavor. So, but maybe I'll see what. Send me a list of things that you need, and I'll see if she would trade with you. Yeah, I know. So if you're gonna play SP, then we can help you with BD. Yeah, but the issue is that you need a second switch, right? So you won't be able to. We don't have Shining Pearl, but we have Brilliant Diamond. So you can complete your Shining Pearl Pokedex. At least, right?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. we haven't introduced Captain Platinum yet. Captain Platinum,
what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Just logging off of work to hang out with you guys.
Cool. All right, we'll keep. I'm not. I woke up at 4:30 this morning, and I feel like if I drank, I'd fall asleep on the podcast. So, I would if I had more energy, because drinking also puts me to sleep. Oh, that's good. That's good. We're going to keep up the tradition of alcohol flowing at some part of this podcast. But yeah, maybe.
I finished Paper Mario, the Origami King.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
That's the second.
You asked what I've been playing, and I have been playing Paper Mario the Origami King.
How is that?
It was fine. I'd give it like an 8. Like I really enjoyed it at the beginning, and then it got really repetitive, and then I ended up having like 150,000 coins in my purse right now, and I'm like, I probably should have just had them the Toads help me out a lot more with the cheering and stuff instead of doing it myself. But you know. Cool. I've been debating if I want to 100% it. Like, there are some in-game trophies to do, but there's, like, a few things I really don't want to do. So I'm like, do I want to be a completionist on it is where I'm headed. And I'm almost ready to say no.
I am at the point now where it's like, I can't afford the time to be a completionist. Because I'm in love with the idea of, like, being a completionist in certain aspects of games, but I never ever finish a game if I ever aim for it. So that's kind of like the conundrum that I find myself in with my current endeavors, which is Dragon Quest V and Dragon Quest XI, which I am taking up the Uncanny Ryab's challenge of actually completing my games, because he has listened to every single episode of this podcast and he says that he does not recall me ever saying I have finished a game, which I proved him wrong on air, because I finished Battletech, I finished Disco Elysium, and I finished a couple of other games. I can't think of Doom. I finished Doom. I finished a couple of other games, but I don't really talk too much about the games that I finished. I just kind of like move on to the next game. So he did, like, you guys can't really tell whenever I finish games, and he just finds that kind of funny. So yeah, I'm actually almost done with Dragon Quest V. I guess we're doing the podcast in reverse, aren't we? We're talking about the games that we're playing first, and then we're getting on to news. Yeah. But I'm playing Dragon Quest V on Push My Buttons podcast does not endorse the use of the forbidden technology known as emulators. Do not play on emulators. But I've been playing Dragon Quest V on a DS emulator, and I am almost through it. Apparently, I am like two rooms away from the final boss, and I am currently just grinding, over leveling, and like over preparing for this guy. Once I'm done with that, I'm going to move on to Final Fantasy V Pixel Remaster on phone. And then Dragon Quest XI is currently my Switch game that I'm playing. And then on my computer, it's just a Final Fantasy XIV machine. All Final Fantasy XIV. That's all I've been doing. I've leveled up a few classes, and I'm getting ready to move on with the main quest, main scenario quest, tomorrow. But Dragon Quest V has been super interesting. Have you guys ever played a Dragon Quest V?
Nope.
I think the only one I've played
was Dragon Quest V. So you played 7 or 8?
Yeah.
I started 8.
And then
a lot of people started at 8. 8's kind of when, I don't want to say mainstream, I hate that term. 8's where a lot of the current fan base jumped on.
Which one is the remake of the PlayStation 1? Because the PlayStation 1 one I played, and then I saw that they like redid it for the new systems.
So there was a few that have been redone over and over and over again.
Okay.
Dragon Quest V is one of those. Dragon Quest V was originally for the Super Nintendo, and then it went on to the PlayStation 2, and then its best version is on the Nintendo DS. Dragon Quest, was it like 6 and 7 were on like the PlayStation 1, and ended up getting remakes done of them.
Okay.
A lot of all the Dragon Quests, I think 1 through 7, you can buy on the like the App Store.
Ooh.
No, you can even buy a Dragon Quest 8 on the App Store now. So you can do that. I do know that Dragon Quest 8 has, I think Dragon Quest 8 has been remastered for current gen. current gen consoles.
Are you sure? I know it was for DS, but I don't know if it's on anything else.
Number 8?
Yeah, 8. I know they did a DS version.
Possibly. Then there was Dragon Quest IX, which was only the 3DS. That one has been kind of like the abandoned stepchild of the family. Because, like, you can't really import that unless you majorly overhaul the UI to current gen consoles. So Dragon Quest IX kind of floats around and not everyone can like access it. Then Dragon Quest X became an online game that was only in Japan. So unless you have serious translation mods on the game, you can't play Dragon Quest X. So really, Dragon Quest VIII was like the last real Dragon Quest that we've had, and now Dragon Quest XI. So a lot of the current fan base have only played 8, and then maybe some previous games, and now 11. So Dragon Quest V is a little bit different because it was the creator's like dream game to make for him. He told a story of like a kid growing up. Like it's not like a typical JRPG. You start off at 6 years old and you play through this kid's life. You play through segments of his life. And it's kind of unique because like the major conflict, the actual quest, doesn't really begin until you are an adult and your son is the legendary hero. Like, you're not the hero, your son is. So you play as, like, the dad guiding the son. Like, the son's, like, 10 or 12 years old. And he's got to go slay, like, this evil demon dude. And you're just like, no. No, I'm going to go with you because you need help. And so that's kind of like the angle the game takes. So it's very different than all the other Dragon Quests, but it's a lot of people's favorites because it's got a lot of heart. And it's one of the few games in that era where like, A, you're not necessarily the main hero, and B, like you're playing as like an adult, kind of, sort of. Versus, you know, playing as like the 16-year-old Sora teenager from Kingdom Hearts and fighting the darkness and all that jazz. So it's totally cool. I'm having a blast with it. There's an optional dungeon after the final dungeon that I think I'm going to skip so I can just move on to Final Fantasy V. Because my brother and I, we're going to do a Blue Mage run. Ooh. Where we just equipped all of our party members with just the Blue Mage class, and that's it. And it's supposed to be kind of like an odd run, like an odd playthrough. So but that's kind of what I've been playing. That and Dragon Quest XI and Final Fantasy XIV.
Nice. Yeah, I've also been playing Horizon Zero Dawn, trying to get back into that. I streamed an episode or two over the break. And I got to a point where I needed to get like all the way across the map. And I was like, well, so I took it offline to do some of that. Not that anyone, because I don't feel anybody wants to watch that. I'm enjoying the game. It's just I feel like I need to learn how to do like weapon upgrades or something. Like I feel like the game should be getting a little bit easier.
What part are you at in the story?
Did she
just go through like her trial?
She did that. I did that, and then I took care of the people that messed that all up, and then I am on my way to Meridian.
Okay, I know where you're at. Yeah.
I found the freaking bird machines. Those things are brutal. That is where I'm at.
What difficulty are you playing on?
Normal, I think.
So I really want to replay that game in preparation for Forbidden West, but I don't plan on replaying it anytime soon until I actually get a PlayStation 5 to play Forbidden West. I don't want to play on the PlayStation 4. So that's not going to be for a while, but like that's a game that's worth the whole going out there to 100% complete, I think.
Yeah, and I'm playing it on PS5, so
there is a like really good Colosseum events that are just like brutally difficult if you really want that extra challenge. But I kind of wanted to replay it on like the epic difficulty. But I don't know if I've got the skill level. I got really good at that game. I was doing like sliding underneath dinosaurs, firing up into their bellies, and then doing backflips over enemies and coming down with that spear. It was really good. It's that game is just really fluid on the combat, and I'm really excited to get into Forbidden West. I just don't remember a whole lot of the story because I played it years ago.
I know. I'm still like, I need to play Ghost of Tsushima. Like, I am that far behind on games.
Yeah, I'm trying to catch up.
Yeah, you know, and it's...
Yeah, go ahead. I hate it when that happens. I'll just speak. You know Goodreads? You know how it gives you kind of... I don't know if people go on the horrible social media platform that is the spawn of all evil known as Goodreads. But it does have some good points to it because the whole point of it is it's a book Facebook. Like, you actually read books and you log them and everything. But they have you set goals for the amount of books to read throughout the course of the year. I kind of want to do that with video games and be like, I want to complete 12 video games from start to finish and not ditch them and leave halfway in. Like, I want to actually legitimately complete them.
I think that was a good idea.
Yeah.
It would.
And like,
with our like,
create a spreadsheet or something.
Yeah. What are like our situation where we're doing like game of the month? It kind of sucks because if we give
us
too much time, we're going to put it off until the last minute. But at the same time, 1 month is not quick enough when we're all playing other stuff.
No, and that ended because I chose Yakuza 0. I forgot that Yakuza 0 is not a short game. It's like a 30-hour game. I forgot. I just remember like how much fun I had with it and how quick I got through with it. And I just assumed everyone's experience was the same. So
yeah, that opening scene that you requested that we play, it took me like 2 hours to do.
All to at least finish chapter yeah. One.
I was like, holy shit, this is going to be a lot.
Yeah, chapter one was when I was sold on the Yakuza series. So you got to the end of chapter one of Yakuza 0?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you got to like the fist fight brawl, yes, with the old guy?
Yeah.
Oh man, I loved that entire like office battle. Just how brutal it was, and like you have to jump through the bathroom when it, because at that point you realize like, oh, the game's not taking itself seriously. Mm-hmm. And then you just have a lot more fun with, mm-hmm, it, and then the violence is just excessively exquisite.
Did you ever watch Kate?
Kate, who's Kate?
It was a movie they did on Netflix.
I don't think I did.
She's an assassin in Japan, I guess. I'm not sure where she is, but she's an assassin. And she, like, I don't know, she does a lot of, like, martial arts and stuff, but she normally kills people with guns. This is a really shit review of it. I kind of equated it to, like, the female version of John Wick, but less thinking, less intense. And there's some scenes in there that I was like, man, this really feels like Yakuza. Like,
oh, awesome.
Like, it was good. So.
Did you, Captain Platinum, did you end up getting through chapter one of Yakuza 0?
Yeah, I got through a couple chapters, I think. I think I got to chapter 4.
So you got to play as Majima then?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I apologize, because that game of the month thing died on me. but yeah, so that kind of illustrates the problem that we've got when it comes to our, I guess, time as responsible adults.
Well, and the other thing is,
like,
like, some of us pick games and the others aren't really interested in those games. Like, I know Luke wasn't really interested in Resident Evil, so that one didn't.
I gave that an honest shot.
Yeah, I played through all my part of Resident Evil 6.
Yeah.
I stopped playing something else for you to do that.
Aw. Yay. I think part of the thing with, like, Resident Evil, like, it's a lot, like, with 5 and 6, it's very co-op based, and so if you're playing it alone, it kind of loses something, and I think that's, I'm glad that you guys both really like, well, I know Mike didn't like it so much, but I think I gave you Leon, which I personally think is the least fun out of all of them, but it's just because it's generic zombies when you have so much more cool options.
Yeah, I played with my friend that loves that game, so it was easier, nice. But yeah, we've already platinumed the game, so I mean, when I said, hey, we gotta quit 5, go to 6, like, what? Okay.
Our mutual friend Josh has platinumed that game so many freaking times, so I get that.
You guys really like that game.
I honestly I've had some really great experience with co-op games. Like my favorite game series is Gears of War, and I actually play most of the series with my ex, and I still to this day am obsessed with those games. So I think honestly, like, just co-op games in general are like my favorite. So any game that's gonna give that to me, I'm gonna be all about it.
Yeah, I remember not liking it at the time, and I think if I gave it another shot, I would probably have my opinion changed, because I recently went through the hell that is known as Balan Wonderworld, created by the guy who created Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh.
Right? So the guy, I forget, who's the creator of Sonic the Hedgehog? Because that's the same guy who made Balan Wonderworld. So here's the thing: like, that Sonic the Hedgehog is a big name, right? As our esteemed podcaster Without Fear, Luke, would testify to everyone he meets, because he loves Sonic the Hedgehog, and I think to some degree he idolizes the guy who created Sonic the Hedgehog. But in the games industry, that guy has had strike after strike after strike after strike, because most Sonic games are bad. And the guy's other endeavors never really panned out. So Square Enix said, we're going to give you one shot, and if you don't hit this out of the park, you're gone. And he got, like, he made it exactly how he wanted it to. With some changes that he was begrudgingly okay with. And those changes were like adding dialogue at the beginning of the game to set the game up. Because he didn't have anything like that. And it was so bad, he ended up being thrown into forced retirement.
Oh, wow.
Square Enix fired him. And I don't really feel super bad, because my brother played Balan Wonderworld for $20, and when I went over there and I played it and I talked about it on this podcast, I have felt that $20 was too much for that game. To put it in short, did not like it. So I feel like if I went back and played Resident Evil 6, I would definitely enjoy that game a lot more.
Yeah.
Balan Wonderworld is literally just trash. So I feel like 6 deserves another shot. If I'm willing to give Balan Wonderworld a shot, mm-hmm. I should probably give Resident Evil 6 a shot.
Well, there's 6 and there's also 5. 5 is their first co-op, so it's a little bit less... Because there's a lot of shit going on in 6. Like, all of the stories play at the same time, and you have to, like, put them together. So 5 is a little bit better, because it's just Chris and Sheva. And it's a lot of fun, because you play in, like, Africa, in, like, that kind of environment. And so it's very interesting, because you just have that. Like, the aesthetic of the game is very nice, as well as, yeah, it's a little more... a little better. Like, I don't know, I like 6, but there's 4 different sections of 6, I pick which sections are my favorite instead of 5, which I like the whole game of 5. So 4 mini games versus okay. 1 big game.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah,
but yeah,
Yeah, back to where else we were playing. I did start Shining Pearl, I believe, but I need to get back into that.
You didn't listen to anything I just complained about.
I know. I was blocking it out because I didn't want to know.
Yeah, you didn't want to know. You're like, yeah, of course she needs help with Shining Pearl for the Pokemon that you have access to that I do not have access to. I don't even know what are really the exclusives per generation. Or per game.
What's kind of cool, and then for Galaxy of Heroes, it's kind of cool. They added a new marquee character this week, which is Aiden Versio, which is that female character from Battlefront 2. Yeah, so that's been cool. They added Starkiller last month as what would you call it? Like a legendary type character. You've got to get the five other characters to go after and get him. This one's just that they add her into the game. So
nice. Yeah, I really like cool that they added Starkiller minus the, you know, not being technical canon.
Yeah.
It makes me happy because I like Starkiller a lot.
Yeah, we're all seeing what's happening with the game. They got rid of Squad Arena last month, which is where a lot of people were getting crystals, and they added a ton more crystals to Grand Arena Championships, and some people were not happy. It's caused a lot of people to quit, so I'm seeing where they're headed. I still haven't quit yet, so I'm still going strong.
Nice.
But there are times I'm like, I should quit.
So there was a point in time where I was like, man, Jamie always talks about his mobile game, and I used to play Lords Mobile, and I got really into that game, and it's one of those ones that, like, baits you into paying for it, and so, like, you were always talking about yours, and I'm like, man, I really need to get back into mine, and so I got back into it, and I'm like, man, I remember why I quit! So I try to avoid it now. Like, I'm hardcore, like, Pokemon going now, which is it doesn't feel as fruitless. Like, in the end of the day, I don't feel that I wasted money, or if I did with Lords Mobile, especially when, like, I talked to someone, he's like, yeah, I'm 60 and I play the game, and I'm like, oh, that makes sense. You have five accounts. That makes sense. You have disposable money. He's like, I don't have disposable money. I'm like, that's fucking bullshit. Why do you have five accounts? Like, I have a regular job. I can't afford this game. I don't know.
Yeah, I still play Pokemon Go here and there. I have been terrible lately. I'll try to get back into it. I think I try to gift you every time I go in. So that's how you know how often I'm playing. I always do gifts when I go in.
Yes, I can always tell. It's nice because you actually gift me more often than most people. The only other person that gifts me more than you is surprisingly Caitlin from Nerddome. Like, we have zero relationship in real life, but me and her are best friends in Pokemon Go.
I miss Caitlin. Hi, Caitlin. If you happen by chance to be listening, I'm waving to you through podcasts. I'm from Baltimore.
Don't get me wrong, I love Caitlin, but she's not going to listen to other people's podcasts.
I know. But that's okay.
Yeah. The new thing I was playing is I was hanging out with a friend last night, and they got me to download BeatStar, and I've been playing that today, which is basically Guitar Hero for mobile. So I was like, darn it, like, it's coming back.
Is that anything close to, like, the Angel Beats games?
I don't know what that is, so I'd have to
look. Those are other, like music-based games. The only reason I'm thinking about it is because I've been watching this chick who does, she does cute Pokemon videos. She plays games, and then she writes a whole story, like, a comical story about the game she played and, like, shit that happened to her and stuff. And I'm, like, totally digging them. Her name's, I don't know what her like, YouTube name is, but she goes by Jaden in all of her games. The next game she was going to play was going to be Angel Beats. And I'm like, oh my God, like, I have no desire to play this game, but, like, I really love her stuff. So, like, I need to know about it.
When I Google Angel Beats, I get YouTube stuff and, like, anime stuff. Is that what you're referring to?
I think so.
Is it an anime game?
I wouldn't be surprised. Her stuff that she does is very, like, the kind of art that she does is kind of what you would expect an anime fan would be.
This, what this mobile game is literally Guitar Hero. It's just there's three lines, and you have to try to get everything to be perfect plus when you tap on it. And it's got more modern songs, and plus some classics and stuff. So it's just been a little time waster today, as I've had to go back and forth between a few meetings and stuff, so... Yeah, I don't know. That's really all I've been playing. I've been trying to talking to somebody. Oh, I want to play Kena. I was able to grab that a little cheap over the holidays. And several friends are playing it and are really raving about it. So, and I've heard it's like 9.5 hours, but it's really fun. It's kind of got that old school game philosophy to it, is what they said. So,
what is it on? Is it on phone?
No, Kena Spirit of Bridges is PS5. I don't know if it is. And I think it's on Xbox. It's that Kena Spirit of Bridges game. Bridge of Spirits, sorry. Kena, Bridge of Spirits. I know it's on PS4, PS5, but I also think it's on Xbox.
Okay.
I could be wrong. Yeah. Is it on Xbox? Yeah, it looks like it is. Yeah, and it looks like it's probably going to come to Switch, too. They have one with a Switch logo on it, so... But yeah, it was one of those games that was, I think, in the PS5, like, launch trailer stuff, or the first big Sony thing they did, like, two summers ago, or last summer, you know, for games that were coming.
Mm-hmm.
But anything else you're playing, Panda Pat?
No, not really. I tried that game that I borrowed from you, but I keep putting it off because of Pokemon. So my thing is I'm trying to really, really focus on Pokemon because the new one's coming out. As soon as the new one comes out, I'll want to play it and I'll feel guilty for not beating the old ones. Like, I still haven't beaten Let's Go. I still haven't beaten Sword and Shield. And to be fair, I had to start over after getting my new Switch, because if you ever want to sell your Switch, make sure you back it up on a memory card, because it won't save to the cloud for some reason, because it's not supported, even though, I mean...
That's Nintendo shenanigans.
That's such bullshit! They're losing Nintendo to Nintendo!
Nintendo has always done weird shit like that.
That's like saying, I'm not going to back up Mario. Like, who... Nobody's going to back up Mario except you! Why wouldn't you back up Mario? Nobody gets Mario!
I don't know. They do some weird ass things, that Nintendo company. But yeah. So I apologize. I'm sorry you have to go through that. That really sucks.
Yeah, it was dumb.
Because Nintendo doesn't want a cloud save, which is a standard feature on every single platform. Not Nintendo. They do things differently.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Yeah.
I'm still mad about it. I switched my Switch out back in the summer. I'm still mad about it. Well, it's because every time I turn on Sword, I'm just like, oh, damn it.
I would have been this far ahead.
Well, and I think about all the Pokemon that I, like, worked hard on. Like, I was trying to really, like, fill out the Pokedex in that one. I don't know. It's dumb.
Mm-hmm. We should probably get to some news.
News?
I always want to do that, but I try not to cross over.
Well, you know what? Nerddome ain't doing it right now. We're going
to. Yes! Yes! I tried to do it like the first couple of times because that was just my automatic go to. And nobody else was doing it. And I was like, oh, man.
I don't know. I feel like we always needed kind of like an opener for news. Like the podcast with the high budgets, they have like a whole little musical jingle segment when they say news. And then Nerddome just said news. Uh-huh. And I thought that was perfectly fine.
I also think we should, because not only are they not doing it, but it kind of like cross universes the podcast. And I'm way into that.
I know, you can create a wiki on all like the Geek Nerd Network podcasts. Everyone should listen to Geek Nerd Network. This is Geek Nerd Network advertising, to go listen to Geek Nerd Network. Yeah, it's it's kind of like a cinematic universe of like Salt Lake City area podcasts. Because in some way we all interact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I've also had some people out here in like Baltimore be like, you do a podcast?
You do a podcast?
What's it? And I was like, yeah. Like, what's it about? And I was like, just nerd shit. And they're like, oh, okay.
I get that a lot. But...
is it okay if I listen? I'm like, if you want, yeah, it's Push My Buttons podcast. And they'll come back and like, yeah, it's pretty good, man.
Oh. Push My Buttons game. You never I'll push say my buttons game. Games.
Yes. I people... Yeah, I say the correct one. I say the correct one. Yes, I promise you do.
Yeah.
I have people tell me that, like, at that same exact conversation, but I never get follow up. Because either they listened to it and they, like, didn't care for it, or they didn't listen to it. I think it's more that they didn't listen to it.
Yeah, it does take a little bit of effort, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
All right, so what news
do you have?
All right, so I'm not gonna bitch about Blizzard because I don't have the energy for it. I woke up at 4:30 this morning. I just do not have the will. So, but I will bitch about one of their products, Overwatch. And I'm bitching about it because I loved Overwatch, man. Hero shooters are it's kind of a fun concept for me. Although I don't really get into them a whole lot. I didn't really get into Apex Legends. But I really got into Overwatch. I thought it was fun and simple. I got really good with a couple of different characters. And Overwatch right now is currently dying. There are a couple of factors going into this. The biggest one is that Activision Blizzard's a piece of shit. Where like 30 and 40 year old middle-aged men can't keep their hands to themselves. And it's just a horrible workplace. So that's part of it. The other part is that they have been teasing Overwatch 2 for the longest time. But due to, again, the scandals, due to COVID and production difficulties and high turnover rate, they haven't been able to really even show any footage yet. So Overwatch 2 is kind of a joke on the Blizzard forums. It's like, oh yeah, whenever Overwatch 2 comes out. So a lot of people have started to put down Overwatch because Overwatch 2 is always promised to be on the horizon. But it's been on the horizon since it was announced like 4 years ago. There have also been conflicting information about what Overwatch 2 actually is. I remember when it was first announced, it was supposed to be like, because Overwatch doesn't have a campaign. Overwatch is purely a co-op multiplayer first-person shooter hero game. So Overwatch 2 was supposed to be like what prevents people from playing both games? Like, is Overwatch 2 going to completely outdate Overwatch, and is Overwatch going to be dropped? Well, Blizzard didn't want that, so they did. They at one point said Overwatch 2 is pretty much a campaign, and then that changed, and then it was like it's a co-op campaign, and then that changed, it became co-op multiplayer again, and then that changed because it was going to be a different team structure and a different competition structure versus kind of what Overwatch is. And so there has been conflicting information with what Overwatch 2 has become. Up in, what was this? In December of last year, 2021, there were some new teases about Overwatch 2. According to, I know everyone hates comicbook.com, but there were some interesting things that happened because Overwatch 2 was teased behind closed doors to influencers. And the general consensus is that it is very dividing. Influencers are like, first off, it was really weird. why would Blizzard tease something behind closed doors to only a select group of people when one of their more profitable games, Overwatch, is dying because no one knows anything about the future of the series? You'd think that they would just, if like they would just show a trailer and say like, okay, this is what is waiting for you when Overwatch 2 comes out. But apparently the trailer behind closed doors was incredibly dividing. And that has further since soured fans of Overwatch 1, causing more people to leave. And then there has been a deal with Overwatch 2 and LEGO, where LEGO would make full-blown LEGO sets. And I don't know if anyone is really aware of how big LEGO is. When I visited Utah a couple of months ago, one of my favorite stores, I'll plug them because they're awesome and they helped out with FanX, Endzone comic book and gaming store over in Layton off of Main Street. They're a fantastic store. They've recently taken on LEGO, and I've watched a couple documentaries on LEGO, and LEGO is really hella intense.
That's what I've always heard. And it is
corporate to the max. It is incredibly hard to become a LEGO dealer. It's not like a toy. It's not even like specialty toys. It's like you have to be certified to a certain extent, because LEGO's like, if we're going to give you our name, we want you to represent us, which means we want you to have a certain quality of service, mm-hmm. It's
kind of like BYU, where you like have to live a whole different lifestyle in order.
Essentially, yeah.
And I heard that because I worked with a guy who was big into to LEGO, and he told me about how like we'll absolutely never do anything that is like rated M or rated R. Like they have like all of these rules that you have to follow, and that's just LEGO themselves not even trying to sell LEGO.
Yeah, and I think Endzone, the owner, Big John, I think he said something like, certain sets have to be on display at all times. And it's like, again, the front of his store, like at the very front shelf, it used to be board games. Now it has LEGO all over it. And he's like, it's been really hard this past year because I've been working hard to get LEGO. Luckily, the pandemic has been nice to them.
Yeah, it's been nice to a lot of small businesses, I feel like, because the nerd store is flourishing as well.
Yeah, that's awesome for the nerd store. I think, when they got their COVID relief for small businesses, he just put that into upgrading the store, which I think is a great idea because that's going to help you survive later on. And that was one of the things that he really wanted to invest in was LEGO. So now he's now an official distributor of LEGO. He's like gold standard or something. I don't know what that means. Where was I going? Oh, yeah. LEGO 2. So LEGO had a deal with Blizzard, right? Considering all this hoop shit that you have to jump through in order to work with LEGO, Overwatch 2 was going to have a LEGO set. And now LEGO is backing down on it, which means Overwatch 2's popularity or like company image. That's one of the hard things, right? Like you can have fans and people boycott and none of that will really work. But Blizzard is in such a bad state right now that on the corporate side, it's starting to get recognized and they're starting to realize that working with Blizzard or having some sort of deal with Blizzard is a risk and you may not get a return from it. And LEGO decided it was going to stop its plans for an Overwatch 2 set. This was this was as of 3 days ago. LEGO Overwatch 2 set is delayed over the workplace allegations at Activision Blizzard. reports IGN, reports PC Gamer, reports Polygon. It has been delayed indefinitely.
Wow.
So that's LEGO saying, like, we're not interested anymore.
That doesn't surprise me, though. I'm surprised it took as long as it did.
I didn't realize how, other ways that Blizzard was trying to make money. I guess it would make sense for, like, because Overwatch is constantly being said that it is, like, it's kind of like a Pixar movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it does fit to be in, like, kind of like a Lego set. But so I guess it kind of makes sense. I don't know how long this deal has been in the works, but if you can get Lego deals, that's generally a pretty solid amount of income, I would imagine, knowing how much they scrutinize dealerships and stuff.
That's surprising to me, because I would assume, I guess they wouldn't have a whole lot of customers, because the Legos themselves are expensive as shit. And I would feel like they would like Pokemon in that sense, that they'd also charge a lot for them. So the payout would be, like, very minimal. Like, your profit margin would be very minimal. But maybe that's why they have such high standards, is because they can get away with it because the profit margin's not.
Well, Lego has gone. Lego still has a line that's meant for kids, right? Here you go. Here's the newest, Pet Pals Lego set. And parents, these are going to be the pieces that you step on for the foreseeable future. Like, that, they still have that. That's how they get people in it. But the majority of sets are, like, collectors' things. The people that collect Lego sets and put them together, they grew up playing Lego, and they now have incomes, and it's even older than millennials. I remember I remember adults when I was a kid that would collect Legos and put together, like, the big sets, and those things can be hundreds of dollars. There is an entire industry of, like, reselling Legos.
Oh yeah. Like, that's one of the things that, like, is high on eBay, is, like, if you start getting Lego sets, like, you get those sets, you buy them at their price of, like, $100 for a set, as soon as it's no longer printed, it goes up at least 200 or 300%, which sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, Taj Mahal, nope. I can't afford a $1,000 set.
And then there's, like, collectible pieces. Like, there are people who have been interviewed and, like, I want to collect every single different type of Lego piece.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
And you're like, okay, what is the Charizard card? The Holy Grail of Lego? And everyone will say it's the Golden Lego Man.
The Golden Lego Man?
Let's look it up.
I've never heard of that.
Golden Lego Man price. Alright, the sole minifigure to make this list, Mr. Gold is his name, was originally available in 2013 for just $2.99.
Jesus!
However, it's extremely rare because only 5,000 were ever made, making the value as of March 2016, 3 years later, $1,506.
Oh.
The brick economy, which is Lego related again, it looks like it's going for $5,220. And it looks like it is floating around there. So yeah, only 5,000 of them were made. Like, Lego has that ability.
Mm-hmm.
So fuck Blizzard. Yep. That's pretty much the only news article that I wanted to bring up.
Cool. That's good stuff. Yeah, I have a few Lego sets I still need to build.
I like getting those three in one, so you get to pick and choose which one of the three you're going to do. But my problem is I want all three options, so I end up buying three versions of it so I can have all three options, so it totally defeats the purpose, but...
Yeah.
I have the shark one and the T-Rex one that I have the... I have multiples of the three in one. Oh, and the lion one. Fucking Lego. They know.
Yeah. They know. They can, like... I feel like you can have some, like... I feel like some Lego representative and like some other person trying to make the cut, right? Trying to make it big. They have like this clandestine meeting in a coffee shop, like on New York on some corner. And like the Lego representative just takes out a wad of $100 bills and just slides it across the table. And it's like, do you want to get in on this game? And like the representative from like Activision Blizzard's like, yes, yes, yes. Okay, well, get your shit together, man. Otherwise, we're not going to work together. Something like that. Something ridiculous. Like, Lego just seems to have that kind of power.
Yes.
But that's what I've got. Does anyone else have any news stories?
I got two if you guys want to. One is just real short. I do believe Nintendo tweeted out about Kirby's 30th anniversary this year.
What?
There was at least some chatter about it. So it looks like we could be definitely getting a new Kirby game. And I think they've shown off.
They showed one off, didn't they?
Yeah, Forbidden Land? Realm? Something like that? Forgotten?
Yeah.
Okay, so I found...
it looks post-apocalyptic.
I found a Kirby game on the Switch. It's a free game. It's Kirby Clash. It's a perfect game as, like, a party game. Or, like, I've been trying to talk Luke into playing it with Quinn. Because, like, it's perfect for him and her. Because, like, it's just short little scenes where you go in and you battle a boss as two-player to four-player. And then you go out and that's what you do. It's really freaking cool.
It sounds like that WarioWare party. Have you played that?
I have not. That sounds cool.
It's pretty much like the new Wario game. The idea is that Wario gets sucked into his crappy game that he develops. But it's pretty much like 5-second games. And you try to complete them in, like, you know, under certain rules and stuff. And there's different characters with different abilities. And that's, it's generally, pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot of fun.
Nice. Oh, it's you guys. I was like, something, it was packed. all right. The other thing I was going to bring up, just out of curiosity, of what your guys' is, I don't think we've talked about this yet. I have here Game Informer's top 10 games of 2021.
Mm.
So I'm just going to go down through them, and then we can just talk about it after and see what we think missed and what we agree with and whatever not, okay?
Okay.
Does that work?
Yes, I love it.
All right, so...
I am good. Let's do this.
Yeah, and then we can probably wrap this up. But number 10 was Psychonauts 2. Number 9 is Inscription, which is a PC game that I didn't hear about. Number 8 is It Takes Two. Number 7 is Forza Horizon 5. 6, Life is Strange, True Colors. 5, Metroid Dread. 4, Returnal. 3, Resident Evil Village. 2 is Deathloop. And do you want to take a stab at number 1?
I don't have any clue.
I didn't realize Deathloop.
Halo Infinite.
Oh, god damn it. Halo
Infinite. So,
oh my gosh, really?
That was their top 10. Did they get it right? What did they miss? Any thoughts?
I literally played none of those games. but the Halo thing is, like, I'm super salty about, because Halo now has its show, and I don't have a Gears of War show yet.
Just saying. Not cool with it.
It's really odd. I guess I can't really argue with it because I don't think I've played any like current 2021 releases.
Yeah, I don't think I did.
Oh, wow.
Except for
Pokemon. We're all kind of behind. I played Ratchet and Clank, the Rift Apart. Mm-hmm. I thought that was great and looked great. I was kind of surprised it didn't make it on there. That I thought Returnal was a little bit older. I know friends like It Takes Two, and I haven't played it yet. No, it was just interesting. And I never played the original Psychonauts, but I know a lot of people raved about that game and were glad they got a sequel.
Yeah, I played Psychonauts 1. It wasn't exactly my favorite game at the time. It's very Invader Zim style. Just kind of like that really odd, quirky humor. And just really odd looking designs. That's kind of like the intent of it. And so I thought it was fine. But I didn't like it a whole bunch. Psychonauts 2, people were like really excited that it came out finally.
I finally played Resident Evil 7 Biohazard just so I could hopefully play Village, and I didn't get to Village yet. Yeah. So,
what'd you think of it?
I liked 7. 7 was, it was different than I was expecting where it went.
So you played 5 and 6, right? All the way through?
Oh, I've played those years ago, and then I've been replaying 5 with a buddy when we have time to co-op.
Okay.
So we catch up.
I mean, obviously, it has taken away from the co-op, but, like, okay, maybe, like, compare it to 4. What are your thoughts between 4 to 7?
I never finished 4. I got it originally on the Wii or GameCube. GameCube. Sorry. I remember, and I played a little bit of it, but then school got in the way, and I never went back and finished it. So I am a horrible person who has never finished RE4. It had, like, the story elements of, I want to say, closer to 5, like the zombie, but no Wesker. But the way it feels like they're doing it is 1, 2, 3 go together, 4, 5, 6 go together, and now 7, 8, 9 are going together. But obviously we know with 8 that it does tie back to some of the earlier games, right? Because of one of the characters that comes back.
Right.
The combat wasn't terrible. It's one of those, like, I've got to go back, and if I'm going to platinum it, I don't even know if I'm going to. Like, one of the things is beat the game in under, like, 4 hours. So,
oh, wow.
It was interesting to try to figure out how to beat a couple of the bosses. Like, you had your couple of scare jumps, but overall I didn't feel it was, like, too scary, especially after playing 5 and 6. And then I haven't played 8 yet. It's on the list somewhere. I just don't know where. I want to play Deathloop. A friend said he didn't really like it, but he's more of a PC shooter, not a platform shooter, so he's wondering if he would like it more on PC. But I've heard that it's actually better than a lot of people were thinking it would be. So, and I'm curious to play it. So, Returnal looked good too. And I know people were griping about that one where you had to play, you could only save it like the beginning of each act, right? Or the end of the couple acts. That was the gripe behind Returnal, if I remember right, is you could play for almost 3 hours and then die, and you'd have to do all that all over again.
Oh, Jesus.
So.
Oof, that does sound great.
Yeah, and a friend played it and loved it, and he got the Platinum Trophy, so he told me he really, really enjoyed it. I think, for me personally, Metroid Dread was my game of the year. Like, I could not put that down when it came out. Like, I literally tore through that. So, I think that's probably my game of the year for last year is Metroid. I don't know, I just thought I'd get your guys' opinion. And I've never played any of the Life is Strange games. Is that more like the Telltale style, do you know?
I have no idea. I want to play them.
I've always seen, like, really good reviews for them, and I'm always like, huh, I should play these, and then I don't.
Yeah. I was just curious if you guys knew or played, because, yeah, I know there's several of them out now. There's, I think, Life is Strange 2, The Before the Storm, and now True Colors.
Well, and it was weird, because I always thought that they were, like, just, like, story games. Like, there wasn't any action in them, and so I was like,
the same time that I was thinking that I should probably give Life is Strange an opportunity was the same time that Medium was coming out. And I was like, well, if I'm going to play a dialogue chick game, I'm going to play Medium. So.
Yeah, I think I have Medium. Medium and Control are some games that I want to play.
Yes.
But.
Yeah, same here.
Medium, I got an Xbox Series S, so I can actually play it on Game Pass now. So that's nice.
Okay. I guess we're going to have to create our top 10 and for next
probably
for next
top
podcast.
5, I would say.
So, some honorable mentions that I know didn't make it. Guardians of the Galaxy. I still want to play that. And I know several friends who played that and really enjoyed it. That's one I can think of that's not on their list. And then the Ratchet and Clank game. Trying to think. Was Hitman 3 last year?
I got no idea.
And then you got your Pokemon. Brilliant Diamond Shiny Pearl.
I mean, I wouldn't say it would be a top game. I mean, it's first of all, it's a remake, so that takes away from it being its own game. But realistically, out of Pokemon remakes, like I expected, after Sword and Shield, I expected way more, and I'm disappointed because it's just kind of
No More Heroes 3. No More Heroes 3 was last year, but I haven't played any of those.
I really wanted to play No More Heroes. I played 1 and 2. I liked them.
Scarlet Nexus was last year. Just scrolling through some of the games I've seen us chat about. But yeah. I don't know. There's some thoughts. The Ratchet and Clank game. So yeah, maybe we can do that for next time or something. I don't know. I was just curious if you guys could think of a game you played this year that might hit that.
I feel like the games that I would play would never make it on the list.
Oh, here's an interesting one. Do you want to do real quick the most played games?
Yes.
Steam reveals the best selling and most played games of 2021.
Yeah, let's do those.
All right. So it looks like they have them in alphabetical order. Let's see if they have a better list. I just happened to see it. Oh, it looks like they have a... Do you want to do most played? It's like they have that individually. All right. This year's games with highest peak concurrent players. All right. So here they are. With over 200,000 peak players, you had PUBG Battlegrounds, Cyberpunk, Valheim, New World, Grand Theft Auto 5, Dota 2, Counter-Strike... I don't Apex Legends, Rust, and what's this one? Oh, Halo Infinite. Okay.
Those games do not surprise me.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's a decent list of the over 100,000 peak players. Wallpaper Engine, Rainbow Six Siege, Among Us, Rocket League, Tale of Immortal, what is this one? Outriders, Path of Exile, Resident Evil Village, Battlefield 2042, Destiny 2, oof, Naraka, Blade Point, Farming Simulator 22, Ark, Survival Evolved, Warframe, The New War, Team Fortress 2, and Dead by Daylight. So those were the ones that had over 100,000 peak players, but not over 200,000 peak players.
Team Fortress 2, huh?
That's what they say, man.
I guess people are ditching Overwatch to go back to Team Fortress 2.
that is sense. In their list, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I watched a guy play the lawnmower simulator for a little bit there.
That's odd. Lawnmower simulator.
I like it. I've always wanted to play that goat simulator, but I have no idea what it's about.
Oh, it's a fever dream. It's not you play it and you're gonna probably have fun for like an hour, nice, and then you'll be done with it.
Oh, in their new releases hitting platinum, Age of Empires 4. That's listed here. Mass Effect Legendary Edition and Naraka Cross Bruce Lee was also, and Back for Blood also made their list there. other things we haven't talked about. So, yeah, interesting stuff sometimes to go back and look and see what people were playing last year. Mm-hmm. So, all right. I was just thought I'd bring that up. I happened to catch that article, and I was like, oh, I should bring that up on the podcast.
I like that. I like lists, though. Lists are
exciting. Yeah, same here.
They go well.
Yeah, I think Dead by Daylight 2 comes out sometime next month, right?
I would like to try that game out. I heard Dead by Daylight has a ton of killer monsters on it, so I'd like to see what they do with number 2.
Next time we should discuss games that are coming out that we're excited for. I'm thinking, because I'm obviously excited for Pokemon. Oh, yeah. And I just want to talk about Pokemon all the time right now, because that's literally my daily life.
All right, well, I think we are going to go ahead and call it there.
All right, good chat.
Yeah, good chat, everyone. Appreciate it. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening. This is Push My Buttons.
Games.
Games. And what's that thing we always say, Captain Platinum?
Oh, Panda Pat needs to game harder.
No, not just me.
Yeah. Yep, just you. You gotta game harder.
I'm actually gaming harder than I normally game.
Oh, then game even harder.
Gross.
All right, everyone. You have a good one.
Bye, guys.
Bye.